This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
What up, folks? Welcome in. It is Sharp Money. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel. No Amal Shah, no Patrick Maher. We are efforting Patrick out there in Southern California, though. I'll be with you for sure for the next 3 hours and do my Patrick impression. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, is alongside as well. I will not call him that, though, because I feel like it's almost redundant as I call somebody else the big guy. You know, I'm not the smallest dude in the world.
I'm bigger. I'm the bigger guy. I'm also the bigger man.
What do you mean? I feel like that's insulting.
Morally. No,
I was going to say, I feel like I'm a man.
you're not 40.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I'm getting there, though. 32. We got a good show on tap for you today. We got three guests that are going to join us throughout the program. Glenn Clark is going to be with us, Press Box, and, of course, 105.7 The Fan. Something going on later tonight that we can discuss maybe in football-related terms. Nick Bruner is going to be with us from DraftKings Senior Trader and Chris Russell, Team 980. As well. All times, of course, if you're watching up at VSiN.com Eastern, which I would argue we should not do because we're located on the West Coast. But that continues my war against the East Coast. So.
Yeah, but all the places that matter are on the East Coast.
I mean, I don't want to get into this. I don't know if I've ever unveiled this side of myself to you guys. I'm very, not anti-East Coast, but like, let's relax.
West Coast bias?
Yeah, there we go.
You know. But be honest with yourself. The reason we say that is because there are more people that matter on the East Coast. No offense to everyone else. By the way, middle of the country, don't even think about you.
No, that we can agree on. That we agree on. The coastal bias is 100% true. We are going to effort, by the way, Patrick Maher. He is going to hopefully join us at some point. So anybody out there who's wondering where the locks are in terms of the hair, not the bets, he will be around. But we open up with, do you want to go serious or do you want to go with what we discussed walking in? We almost had a really strong bonding moment. We had one over the weekend where we hosted for 4 hours.
And then ate food together.
That's right, yes. But stronger is standing next to each other in the urinal line, which we missed by like a half second.
Missed a golden opportunity for some crossing of the streams, pre-show swords.
I mean, that's a good way to get a show going, right? The bonding level.
Yeah, it's how you get together as a team. It's called team building.
That's right. That's what we want to do here. Can I go back to last night really quickly? So we have football tonight, and we have a lot to get to when it comes to the game later today because you've seen a lot of line movement. I would even argue blasphemous line movement at that against the Baltimore Ravens because I don't know if you've heard, but John Harbaugh wins a lot of preseason football games. But last night, I thought it was pretty fascinating because we've seen a lot of instances in the NFL preseason of the market kind of freaking out about certain things in the preseason. And line moves happen really frequently in the NFL preseason. And they happen rapidly, and they will be strong. You know, we saw over the weekend, you and I were watching Miami and Houston. That thing opened up 5 in favor of Houston, closed around pick. And then, of course, we know what happens to that result. But I wanted to go to the Sunday night game, Saints and Chargers, 22-17, that final score. It was funny because 22 plus 17 is 39 at last check. Market, though, was freaking out over reports that LoFi was leaking. So the total got down to as low as like 35.5 in a few spots, close 36, a vast majority. And then it ends up going over the total. And we were talking about this yesterday on Live Bet Sunday, and I kept trying to make sense of it because I was like, okay, yes, technically it's like an open-air stadium, right? If you hear, I think Dennis Allen yesterday talked about like technically if there was like lightning strikes, they had to be on a delay because there's like the open areas. But the way that they're open, it wouldn't cause much wetness on the field. But the market was like, nope, we gotta let's bring this thing down. And the thing goes over the total. Like, there's been so many instances, we talked about this on Saturday, of the market really freaking out, whether it's information or whatever it is. And this was another instance yesterday where it was like, okay, wait, nah, this is a little bit too much. And then sure enough, it goes over the total.
I think the NFL preseason, despite there being so much information out there for all of us now, is more unpredictable than ever. I'm sorry. I'm not buying into this whole, like, you can have your system, you can stick by your system, you can believe, you can watch for, you know, 1, 2, 3 things for each matchup. There is so much we don't know about each individual game that we think we know. Like, we have no idea what the game plans are, what the mindsets are, what the real depth chart is, like who's going to get a few more snaps than someone else, what the defensive game plan is, what they want to show and not show. Like, there's so much we don't know right now, and we think because we have other information that we have an edge, and we keep losing against the line moves.
I would say that it's easy to get closing line value in the NFL preseason. If you get ahead of information, you're going to have value on the number that you have. You know, you're going to grab five with Miami, and that thing's going to close pick. It's awesome. And sometimes it plays out in that regard. But I would also argue, as you're kind of alluding to here, just because you have the information, you don't know what the information means. And so, like, when you get starters out there, you don't know how long they're going to be out. You don't know what they're doing in terms of what they're working on and what they're looking for. And I think that's when people say you can make money in the NFL preseason, I think that's what it's about. I think it's about going back and looking and saying, hey, you know, this is good information. You're going to get line value. And more often than not, if you get closing line value, right, it's the old CLV debate, then you are going to come out on top. But in the NFL preseason, when lines move the way that they are, it is pretty wild to watch that happen and sometimes not really come ahead of it, too. So that was just one of the examples. We do have one more game later tonight in the National Football League preseason. That, of course, is the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Washington Commanders. I say blasphemous line movement because it looks like the market is turning on one John Harbaugh. Opened up 3.5. We're down to 1.5. Total has gone down from 38.5 to 37.5. And it is pretty fascinating because the market almost every single time the Ravens play in the preseason will blindly just move in that direction. But it does seem that this is going to be a little bit of a thinner roster or a lot of third and fourth stringers. And you can only implement winning culture so deep into the roster, it seems. So we'll see if that's going to be the case. But I am just surprised that the market is, as we have seen almost every single week, come in on the Baltimore Ravens, knocking this down in some spots. I mean, Circa's at -1 right now. So I'd be willing to bet 1.5 is not going to be the closing number. You might get one. Heck, it might even close pick.
Tell me you want to bet the Ravens.
Oh, I do. I mean, yesterday when we closed on Live Bet Sunday, I shocked Holden because I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to bet this game over. And he's like, wait, what? And it's like, yeah, I mean, again, I think we're overreacting here, and it might be the same thing here. I mean, again, it might be based on the fact that this team is thin, but, I mean, who knows exactly what Washington wants to do overall throughout the entirety of the fourth quarter. And I would argue, again, it's hard once you get past, like, Easton Stick for a couple of seasons was a really good preseason quarterback, or I should say a solid preseason quarterback. Looked terrible yesterday. So you have no idea once you get deep how this is going to go for some of these guys. I mean, and if we believe in John Harbaugh, why not? If this gets down to pick, the preseason darling Baltimore Ravens, what are we doing?
Let's do it. I mean, it's arguably the greatest run in the history of sports betting, right? John Harbaugh in the preseason has to be up there for the greatest runs in the history of handicapping sports.
It is. I would argue. No, that was going to make a dumb argument. I was like, I remember the year that Harden's first year in Brooklyn, that was when Kyrie and Kevin Durant went out and the market was like, oh, we don't like James Harden because he was mean in Houston. They went on like a 14 game run where they covered every game but one. And Harden was freaking awesome for those 15 games. It was part of my James Harden to win MVP that year, which it did not really work out. But yes, I would say this is probably one of the best betting runs that we've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'd side with you on backing the Ravens, not just because of history, but like I have this weird thing about the preseason and mobile quarterbacks. And if you have more mobility at the quarterback position when there's a bunch of scrubs out there and plays are more likely to break down, which means that you can move the ball efficiently on the ground, I'm more inclined to side with that team that has more of a ground game. And when you're going to throw out Josh Johnson and Anthony Brown, that's better than Jake Fromm's legs.
Yep. Howell is allegedly going to see some action tonight. Sam Howell, starting quarterback. Yes, not preseason starter, but, you know,
so
actual
what,
starter.
So this is a great point then, JVT. Everyone's hyping up the Jordan Love preseason. There's a few others.
So
then people are down on others because of the preseason. What does Sam Howell need to do, and does it matter today?
No, it doesn't matter at all. I will not believe in Sam Howell in any way, shape, or form. I can't do it. I don't understand. Look, and I'm willing to be wrong. I'm always willing to be wrong. A lot of people think I'm not. No, I'm always willing to be wrong here, but for Love, for example, right? And I will always say this. It was only 9 total dropbacks against the Eagles on that Sunday night game, right? It was only 9 total dropbacks, but they were good.
They were good 9 dropbacks, right?
Sam Howell played a whole game, a meaningless game at the end of the season, and looked mediocre. So what I'm saying is, my point is that I at least have multiple data points of high-end play for Jordan Love, even if it's 2 preseason games and an end of a regular season game, that tells me, like, okay, maybe there's something here. For Howell, it's a very small sample size, and the very small sample size that you've seen has not really been great. And thus, when you get into a regular season where teams are actually going to scheme and do things to stop you, then that's where, again, I'm just like, nah, I'm not going to buy it.
I'm such a hater. I think none of this matters. None of it can be projected into real regular season football. What we are seeing now is not what we'll see during the regular season. I don't think any of it is real.
So you think you're smarter than a former NFL general manager?
I think it's all fake.
Because Michael Lombardi had a great write-up about a week and a half ago about how how some of the stuff translates to the regular season. Now, I would say the caveat is you just don't know what translates to the regular
yeah,
season.
Dude.
But some of the points you brought up was the Hackett penalties, right? Broncos were one of the most penalized preseason teams last season. They were one of the most penalized teams in the regular season. Washington was one of the worst teams in the preseason at forcing turnovers. They were one of the worst teams in forcing turnovers in the regular season. So there are things that translate to the regular season. The problem is you just don't know which ones to point at that say, hey, this is going to translate. It's more of a 2020 hindsight type of deal. So I would argue there is things. I just can't tell you which ones they are. I'll tell you at the end of the season, but I can't tell you right now.
I'll tell you what's not. Jordan Love's passing ability. That is not translating to the regular season.
I am in. I already bet him to win the conference. Now that's a little crazy.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I already bet him to win the NFC North. I'm in.
Don't see it.
The thing is, it's a weak division overall. I think it's a fraudulent favorite at the top with the way that they are priced. I think the darling team in the – dude, the more I look into the statistics for the Bears, I just don't understand it in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, dude, come on. I'm in. Jordan Love.
The NFC North is a weak division because the Green Bay Packers are in it.
No, that's not true. I think it's because the Lions and the Bears are in it. How about that, huh? I'm telling you, dude, razor's edge for the Lions. If Goff starts to take a couple of steps back, oh boy.
Not buying it. Not buying the Lions.
You can restore the roar all you want, but that roar, I mean, and at the end of the day, I mean, 8-9 wins are going to win this division.
It's more of a meow.
Yes, exactly. All right, we'll take our break here. Man, that went by fast. Are we already done? Oh, this show's 3 hours, huh? That escaped my mind one more time. I thought I was out of here. All right, we'll come back. We're Efren and Patrick. We got plenty left to get to. It is Sharp Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Don't go anywhere.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber, get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide are going to have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this season. Only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer, become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. A reminder, two things when it comes to VSiN Pro subscription. One, NFL betting guide is getting updated with updated numbers and odds. So the shift that has happened since the NFL betting guide came out, it's going to get refreshed with brand new analysis. So that's an awesome, awesome feature that we're trying out. And I will also stress that when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get everything we do. So that includes all the other sports. I know everybody's getting excited for football, but it includes analysis with everything. All right, with that, we did get news over the weekend. The Georgia Bulldogs, I didn't think this was like a thing. Everything I read was like, oh, you never know. But it is official. Carson Beck is going to take the Georgia Bulldogs on their quest for a third consecutive title. Not a surprise. I actually bet Carson Beck to win the Heisman at 20-1 a couple of days ago, like a day before the news dropped. But I am very intrigued to see if what had become a pretty explosive offense with Stetson Bennett down the stretch of his career is going to continue with a guy like Carson Beck. You see the Heisman odds there. They're about 15-1 over at DraftKings to win this thing. But I bet Beck at 20-1 to win the Heisman. I'm in.
Well, you know, you said explosive offense last few years. This is actually potentially more explosive than they've ever been.
Right.
I mean, that I can remember. I mean, going back to like the David Green years, like they just did not have an explosive offense that made dynamic plays. You bring in the top receiver from Missouri, the top receiver from Mississippi State. You bring back Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey. You always have a stable of running backs this year led by Kendall Milton. Like if Carson Beck is a mediocre quarterback who can, you know, distribute the ball efficiently in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
I like your Heisman bet. I think he's in the mix at that point. I don't know his capabilities. I do like the continuity factor, the fact that he sat through everything in this system. He's not one of the transfer quarterbacks having to learn everything for the first time. I think, look, this team could win it even if he's, you know, below average. That's how good they are.
So for two things. First, my thinking was, like, it was actually pretty simplistic. starting quarterback on national title favorite, soft schedule. But and I heard a nugget. It was funny. I don't know what I was watching, but I heard like a nugget. It was like soft schedule by SEC standards. Even like it's not their fault. Right. But they've also had a soft schedule for the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, well, they play in the East.
You're correct.
Two, it's not their fault. Florida's taken giant steps back.
Yep.
And then three, they had Oklahoma scheduled, yep, but because Oklahoma's joining the SEC next year, that game was removed from their schedule.
So I think especially it's actually one of the reasons why my other, and I will always give Adam Burke credit because I read his analysis, thought it was awesome. It's also why I bet Tanner Mordecai, because the non-conference schedules are so easy that I think that there's a chance that both of these guys are going to be able to put up big numbers, and at the very least, the odds for them are going to improve, and then you roll through a schedule, we'll see whatever happens going forward. But
buddy, we got to have a talk about Tanner Mordecai in Wisconsin and how I can't get enough of them.
I am so
hyped up on Wisconsin. It's not healthy for my heart. It's only going to let me down. I think I'm going to bet them plus 750 to win the Big Ten. Come back, Big Ten title game, hedge against the ticket, not even watch the game.
So I mentioned two things. The other thing for Carson Beck, we don't have a large sample size, but through two seasons, he has had a total of 58 dropbacks. Relatively solid, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, turnover-worthy play rate of just 1.6%, which is very, very low and very good. Again, at cleanup duty, the most in a single game. Last year, he had 12 dropbacks and a beatdown of Vanderbilt, graded out really well. PFF grade overall of 89.6 from a passing standpoint. So to your point, continuity, bit of the system, he's kind of figured it out, and I think it makes the most sense here. But you have an angle when it comes to this in terms of what we're seeing in the odds, right?
Yeah, I just think it's really interesting right now that the betting markets are telling you that Georgia to win the national championship and Caleb Williams to win the Heisman are the two most likely things to happen in the college football season. But my 38 years living on this planet and breathing the air, we have not had a 3-time consecutive national championship since Minnesota in the 30s, and we haven't had a back-to-back Heisman winner since Archie Griffin. You know, I know that because everyone brings it up all the time.
Right.
I didn't even know what position Archie Griffin played until I was like 15, but I knew he won back-to-back Heismans. So one of those things is not going to happen for sure. Both of them are unlikely to happen. Mm-hmm. That's what the life odds of living on this planet has taught me, is that we will not have a 3-time national champion and we will not have a back-to-back Heisman winner. So when I look at it from a betting perspective, why would I bet on either of those things to happen?
So I'll ask you this then, of the two, what is the most likely to happen? The three-peat or the back-to-back?
I think Georgia winning the national title is actually more likely.
Yeah.
I think winning the Heisman is so much harder than people think.
The odds would tell us that too, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
I asked the question. It's an easy one if you just look at the actual probabilities given to us.
I just think the Heisman thing is just so much harder to do because, one, you're factoring humans, too, into the equation.
And humans suck, and they'll look to every time they look to not give it to the guy who won it previously.
And also there's the factor of, you know, he won it last year. He's coming back this year. Every single defense he faces, that will be their biggest game of the year. Sure. Shutting down the Heisman winner, not letting him have a Heisman moment against them. And then three, I keep saying this with NFL and I keep saying it with anyone coming back. There's tape. There is now film, ocular proof of what Caleb Williams wants to and likes to do on a football field. So now there's more time to game plan and more information to use to do that.
So if we're rolling with that and the odds would tell us that it's less likely of the two that Caleb Williams is going to win this, I mentioned two already that I have bet in terms of Carson Beck and Tanner Mordecai. Mordecai's at like, you can find him like 150-1. And I would say too, for anybody wondering, these Heisman winners, some of them do come from pretty deep down the odds board. Even a guy like Joe Burrow, you know, we look back now and hey, that's the greatest team in college football ever assembled. Burrow at some spots was like 80-1 before the season started. And I remember the year before watching Joe Burrow quite a bit and like, dude, this dude can't compete, like can't complete a quick slant. Like what's going on?
Yeah.
And watching that evolution. So if you're like, if you're kind of wringing the hands, clutching the pearls, like, I don't know how deep I want to go. No, I'd argue that you can go pretty deep on a Heisman board because we've seen quite a few long shots rise to the top, like preseason odds-wise.
Yeah, you know, and this is one of those markets that fluctuates constantly throughout the year. Also, you can anticipate the schedule before the bookmakers do at times. Like last year, I went into last season with 100-1 on Stetson Bennett. Now, Caleb Williams never got short enough for me to jump in and get my ROI. Mm. But because I had that base bet of Stetson Bennett, he got off to a hot start. I did have an opportunity, if I would have gotten ahead of it, to make some money. I unfortunately dropped the ball on that. I do think there are a lot of options deeper down the board. I mean, look, I love Jaden Daniels. I think LSU is going to be in the SEC title game with the potential to win the league, but 11-1 feels kind of short on him. Everyone loves Jordan Travis and his talent. Florida State is a super hyped up team this offseason. 14-1 feels about right. I could be convinced that that's a good bet. Michael Penix Jr. is a guy who's a veteran who's been playing forever. They were the number one passing attack in college football a year ago. They return a lot of pieces on the O-line and at receiver. 16-1 makes sense to me. And then I have no problem going deep down the board, going Blake Corum, 28-1. Kyle McCord, 22-1, because Ryan Day, all he does is create first-round quarterbacks at Ohio State. I think there's a lot of intriguing options further down. I love your Mordecai bet. And I wouldn't be afraid to bet on the other guy at Wisconsin either, Braylon Allen.
Yeah, I think that those are all valid options. And I would argue, too, with a guy like Penix, this is subjective, but it matters, I think, a little bit. The opportunity to have Heisman moments.
Yes.
Because you're going to be able to play USC. You're going to, one of those where if he just plays at the level he did last year, they get there with, one loss or whatever, and you get that victory, and you're going to have the opportunities to show out and get those moments for you. And when you look around, you want another one? I think he's about 200-1. Brought this up to Matt Eumanns yesterday. A lot of people are high on Texas Tech. They've got 11 guys coming back on offense. People think they could be a dark horse a la TCU last year in the Big 12. If those things come to fruition, now the problem with him is that he has some health issues, but Tyler Shock at about 200-1 is something to look at as well. I'm correlating this to anybody out there who believes in Texas Tech. If you believe in the dark horse theory for Texas Tech, Tyler Shock is something that you would look at as well.
150-1 on DK right now on DraftKings. I would say I do believe in the dark horse of Texas Tech. I think they very much can surprise and win that league. I don't buy the Texas hype completely because, their head coach is still Steve Sarkisian, and Quinn Ewers is more hype than he is actual, on the field execution at this point. And then Oklahoma's more, they've transitioned under Venables, and I don't know if I can trust them offensively at the moment. Absolutely buying the Texas Tech hype. I don't think you're crazy there, but you pointed it out. He has not been able to stay healthy in his career.
Oh, man. Bad timing. I actually was just going to open the Circa app to see if I could put something down Heisman-wise as we're talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they just tweeted out that the app might be down. Oh, it is.
Oh, they must have the same connection as Patrick then. they must use the same provider.
The problem is Patrick's internet setup, the rumor has it, it's just a gerbil and a wheel that's just providing power. And that's
His dog. He makes his dog run on the wheel the whole show. That's why we never hear from her. She's exhausted.
Oh, okay. All right. How many dogs? Just the one dog?
Just one dog.
Yeah, that's right. He hit us with the last time I was in, he hit us with I went out for a walk the other day, because he tried to humble brag that he saw Mason Plumlee.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, you live in the same neighborhood as Mason Plumlee, huh? And he was like, oh, no, it's not what I was trying. It's exactly what you're trying to say. I feel like Patch, he's got a little dog, huh?
A little tiny white dog.
I knew it. It's named, always those.
Named after the person the dog looks like.
Is that something we can't say on the air?
Jeezy.
Oh, okay. All right. When you said G, I thought we were going to go with Zuss. And I was like, okay. All right, we'll take our break.
He was not white, by the way.
Western interpretation, yes. All right, we'll take our break. More Sharp Money along the way. It's JVT filling in for Patrick.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Reminder, folks, that you can subscribe for as low as $19 over at VSiN.com/subscribe, and you get everything we have to offer. The updated NFL betting guide, that's going to be awesome. It's due out later this month. It's going to help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. And, of course, our college football betting guide with futures and win totals and more when it comes to the upcoming college football season. And, of course, if you're a pro subscriber, you get everything we do. 24/7 video stream. You can see my wonderful face, power ratings, betting splits, and everything the website has to offer. Check it out at VSiN.com/subscribe. So we were talking about Heisman, and it reminds me of a great story. Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's great. You can tell me if it's not. But anyway, I was probably about 19, right? And I decided, sports media, that's what I'm going to do, okay? And I got to lunch. My mom wanted me to go to lunch with heard some lady. I actually have never seen this lady before that day, and I've never seen this lady after that day. It was really odd. I don't know what it was. A very older lady. And so we're talking, and I'm, you know, being a nice, courteous young man, and it gets on to what I'm going to do. Because, you know, when you're that age, you got to, you know, they got to ask you, what are you doing with your life?
Too. Right, yeah. Got to have dreams.
So I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to start to, you know, go to school, and, you know, I want to be in sports media. And she hits me with the, oh, okay, who won the 1967 Heisman? And I'm like, I don't know.
Is that Gary Beben?
It was. And she's like, you got to know those things. And I'm like, when Gary Beben comes up in conversation, I'll remember it.
Why do I know that?
Why do you know that?
If you would have thrown another.
You're making me look bad.
No, here's the thing. You could have thrown 68
yeah.
or 66 at me. I wouldn't have gotten it.
I mean, 66, it's a well-known name. Former Florida quarterback.
Oh, Spurrier?
Yep. And then 1968 is also a well-known name.
OJ?
There you go.
Wow. Yeah, the look on your face gave away OJ.
Yeah, right. Well, if you didn't get it, I was going to go, like, but, you know.
Stab me in the back.
Allegedly,
jeez.
Yeah. But no, so that was it. That was it. That's my Heisman memory every single time. Still to this day, I have not been asked about Gary Beben. So
you're not in this world anymore because you're happily married with children who have funny stories all the time. Women who like sports on dating apps, it's a brutal world for them, according to my friends and stuff I've seen on social media. Anytime their dating apps will say, I love sports.
Oh, boy.
They
yeah.
get quizzed by random dudes on a dating app.
So dope.
If you're really a Cleveland Guardians fan, who was the shortstop when they went to the World Series in 2016? Like, dude, come on.
Who really cares?
What are you doing?
Sports trivia. It never really, the trivia like that never comes up until Immaculate Grid or things like that.
Oh,
that actually
I didn't finish mine today. I'm stuck. I gotta do some more thinking.
Dude, I think one of my biggest weaknesses, I think, when it comes to my memory, is that once I'm done with the knowledge, I think my brain, like, just flushes it out.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, I can't. The other day I pulled out when I was doing the football version of Immaculate Grid. I don't know what it's called. Gridiron Grid?
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's all the same thing. My brain pulled out Alan Faneca. It was like a Cardinals-Jets connection. And I was like, ooh, I remember Alan Faneca.
I finished it today. Never mind. I'm an idiot.
What'd you get? What's your score?
I got that was yesterday's. Never mind. Yesterday I got a 32.
Is that good or is that bad?
No, it's good. You want as low as possible, closest
okay.
to zero.
A rarity score. Okay.
Yeah, rarity.
Okay. I've done pretty good in the NBA one, not the
NBA players move around a lot. I feel like the NFL is not, because of, you know, the 3-year league average, it's a little bit tougher to have the rare guys.
Well, because you want to know what you need to have an in-depth knowledge of is the offensive, like the linemen, right?
Yes.
The offensive linemen, the defensive linemen, because those are the guys, maybe linebackers sometimes, because those are the guys that like change hands a bunch, that go a bunch of places, or like those fringe DBs. Oh, fringe DBs,
oh, yeah.
You'll see guys that play for like six teams.
The best is when you open it up and you go, oh, sweet. Like if the Mets are ever, if my team's listed,
you know,
gold. Chico Walker half the time is the answer. All the utility guys, constantly using them. Kevin McReynolds, guys like that.
Who won the 1952 Heisman?
1952, it was probably a left fullback from Notre Dame.
It was Billy Vessels. He was a halfback, though. He was a halfback. All right, college football's coming
Billy
up.
Vessels?
I don't know. His picture's in black and white. Somebody out there's like, you don't remember Billy? We called him Billy the Basher because he was so hard to tackle.
Billy's been dead 22 years. Nobody remembers Billy.
First round pick for the Baltimore Colts.
It's pretty good because, you know, back then there was like 23 rounds.
Right. I mean, I think the scouting process maybe probably wasn't up to snuff.
You don't think they had highlight reels available?
I don't think so. I don't think that much. I think that maybe at the combine guys were putting cigarettes out on the soles of their shoes real quick before they did like vertical jumps and everything. Probably a little bit different. Week zero is coming up. So there is a matchup. You expressed surprise actually at a point spread. You're in on Jacksonville State. Are you?
Yeah. You know, as bettors, the key is to be ahead here. And it felt like last year we were all a little bit behind what James Madison did.
Sure.
As they jumped from FCS to the Sun Belt. Well, Jacksonville State, not quite at the level of a James Madison, who was like a perennial championship contender at that level. They're moving to Conference USA this year, and they have a dynamic offense. Like, doing research on this team, the Jacksonville State Gamecocks, I think the last time I cared about them, Ryan Perilou had transferred from LSU to Jacksonville State. I think he eventually had to become a receiver. But their head coach is Rich Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Rich Rodriguez had gotten a fourth chance in college football to be a head coach. It's his second year there, went 9-2 a year ago, and he's a winning coach. Say what you want about him as a human being. Football coach, he wins. He had the fifth-ranked offense in all of FCS last year. They returned their running back, Anwar Lewis, who had 808 yards a year ago. 7 yards a pop will get it done. And then the quarterback is a dual-threat guy who, by the way, it's his seventh year of college. He applied for a seventh year. They didn't think he was going to be approved. He's back for year number seven. Literally, Van Wilder, the joke was he was in college for 7 years.
Yeah.
Tommy Boy. A lot of people go to college for 7 years. They're called doctors or the quarterback at Jacksonville State. His name is Zion Webb. Looking at this team, I think they have a lot of firepower, and they open up week zero with a UTEP minor squad that is just not good. One winning season over the last 8 years. They turn the ball over, which leads to losses a lot of times. They're just not that good and that consistent. I think people might overlook Jacksonville State, not a known commodity, jumping up to FBS. I think they have a chance to knock them off in week zero.
You want to do a show bet? Because I like UTEP.
Do you?
I think CUSA stinks. Like Conference USA sucks. It's
bad.
All the good teams and some of the actual mediocre teams just up and left. And Western Kentucky should probably run away with this thing. Having said that, with UTEP, the pass has not been there. It's not been there. And Dana Dimel needs to do something here. However, he does have 15 guys coming back, 8 on offense, 7 on defense. I think there's something to build with here. I actually came into this season, I was trying to find, who's the second best team in Conference USA? Because the conference stinks, and I think there's some good upward mobility for some of these teams who might be right? And I think UTEP might be one of those teams with the returning personnel that they have in a conference that kind of stinks. I know that we saw this, it opened up. I have it for me. Jacksonville State minus 1.5. We're up to UTEP minus 1. Actually, I agree with the line move. So you want to do a show bet?
Yeah, let's do it. It's a nice one, too, because, we're not going to have to worry about the spread pretty much.
Right. It's essentially just who's going to win this thing.
Yes.
We'll go pick, and then we'll put, I don't know. But I want to put something ridiculous on this, like dinner at Barry's or something.
Okay.
Like a high leverage UTEP Jacksonville State bet.
Barry's or Adiamo? I've never been to Adiamo.
Let's do it.
Have you been there?
Oh, yeah. I got a free dinner there once because
if you think I lose and I'm not going to hit up Mike Palm for a free dinner, you're insane.
Well, okay, so there's now a couple of things here. So first off, in one of the first few years in our existence, we actually at VSiN had a relationship with the Arena Football League. And so I would do cut-ins during their games on the Washington Monumental Network?
Yeah, something like that.
And update the point spreads and whatnot. And I got a good bad beat on a AFL game, too. But anyway, so when our connection was, we actually went out and met with the Arena Football League people, and part of that was dinner at Andiamo. So I got a free meal out of
it. I like it.
Bumping elbows with the AFL elite. There was a very famous AFL quarterback that played in the NFL that was with us at dinner, but I can't remember who it was.
Kurt Warner?
No, I would have remembered that. I think I would have remembered that one. But yeah, no, okay, and Andiamo's. I'm in.
Boy, Conference USA, man. Talk about a league getting gutted.
Dude, and I think when you look at Western Kentucky and the fact that they're, I think they're still plus 115, plus 120 to win this conference, they are head and shoulders the best team in this conference. At the very least, they should make it to the title game in which they will be favored.
Yeah.
Again, people like to look at some of these things do I want to invest in plus 115, plus 120 for a whole season? I think Western Kentucky's worth it. You can make the argument they should be odds on favorite and not just minus 110.
No, I'm not mad. I think that's great because it's a wasteland, man. Liberty is not going to be Liberty. Hugh Freeze is gone. It's not going to be the same.
And that's the biggest thing for me. If you look at Liberty and the turnover that Liberty is undergoing this season, and you're looking around and going, all right, who's going to come back for this? You're talking about a team that is bringing back 8 total guys, only 3 on defense, a brand new coaching staff.
No.
The price for Liberty, I think, is very much what you did in the seasons prior, not the situation that you're in right now. All right, cool. Andiamo's on a UTEP Jacksonville State. Man, football's back. That's what this is about, man. Football is back, and I can't. Oh, I love it. All right, we'll take our break. We continue to effort. I think he's on a flight. He's going to come and join us, Patrick Maher. I think he can get here in time, right? We'll see. Sharp Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Legendary sports bettor Billy Walter sat down with Brent Musburger for an exclusive interview, and the only place to see it is on VSiN. Billy reveals his systems for betting the NFL, shares some unbelievable betting stories, and gives the details on Phil Mickelson's gambling habits. Check out the interview tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, only here on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. John Von Tobel filling in for Patrick Maher. Dustin Sweetelson is alongside as well. Hopefully you're all safe, by the way, especially if you're along the West Coast. Kind of petered out here. I was really looking forward to some rain, and, you know, I like rain. I'm a big rain guy. Especially back in the day when I was young and didn't have children, I like to get inebriated and sit on the porch and just look at the rain. So
you just totally threw me off by referring to yourself as John Von Tobel. Do you prefer John or Jonathan?
It comes and goes. I actually, in professional circles, I'll introduce, like, if it's somebody I need to impress, I'll introduce myself as Jonathan. My dad is John. There's no offense, it's just John, and I'm Jonathan.
Are you John Jr.?
No, technically not, because first off, different middle name, and he is just John.
Okay.
And I am Jonathan. So I think that's. Those are not – there's, you know, not exact enough to be a junior. So.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's it. I mean, we have to have the same name.
I guess it has to be the exact same.
So how about this? I don't know if I've ever told you this. This is something you'll enjoy. My dad has a custom license plate. It is JVT. So it is – I think this is like a dad, like, overtly proud of his son thing. Now, he did it, like, years, like, way before my media career. He's always at it. He actually had a startup company at one point that he called Joint Venture Technologies, JVT. So it's, like, it's been his thing for a while. But I think he lies about the story. He'll be like, you know, people stop me at stoplights and wonder if I'm you. I'm like, I think you're making that up.
Is he a courteous driver? Is he an aggressive driver? Because this could end up poorly for you.
So I don't know. And that's one thing. Like, I have vague memories of driving with my dad, but nothing really sticks out. Never any road rage incidents. You know, there was one time where he didn't believe I actually had a stomach flu. So he poked me in the stomach and I spewed all over the car. That was awesome. But I don't know that. I will say this. Richie Bacciolari, who works behind the scenes over at Circa, does a great job. One time I ran into him, and my dad actually works in IT and has a hand in helping some of the IT stuff when it comes to the sports betting apps over at stations and everything like that. And Richie had actually run into my dad, and I think they've worked together, like, you know, on the fringes a couple of times. And I always wonder, I told Richie when I ran into him last time at Circa, I was like, you know, you could tell me my dad's an a-hole. Like, I always wonder, like, work version of my dad. Like, he's like, oh, I ran into your old man the other day. And I was like, how was it? Like, you want to tell me? Yeah, he's like, he's great. I was like, all right, we'll see. We'll see. I want the truth at some point. All right, continuing on with week zero. So there are some injuries that we were, of course, everybody's monitoring and going into week one as well. First of which is, I know that you were talking about this. We still don't have any idea on what's going on with Cam Rising. We do know that the latest scrimmage that Utah had, indications are that he did not participate in the scrimmage, still limited. So we are coming up against it here as to what is going to happen with Rising and his availability. Also, one of their top tight ends has some question marks as well. Yeah. And second string quarterback issues too for them too, right?
Yeah, so this is a week one game,
yeah.
But the number's still floating out there.
Seven.
Florida catching seven at Utah. And look, if you're projecting Utah to have a big year, I think it's because of Cam Rising's health, and it's because of the five-star kid at quarterback. Well, neither of them may be available, as Brandon Rose, the five-star or four-star, is injured. We don't know when Rising's coming back. That means week one against an SEC team, and I get it's at home, you could have Bryson Barnes at quarterback. And quickly you go to Bryson Barnes' recruiting page, and we see nothing. Because he walked on at Utah. A walk-on against an SEC defense. I don't care how down you are in Billy Napier. We don't know what that transition was like with the previous regime into Billy Napier a year ago. You give an SEC team a chance to prepare for a walk-on quarterback?
Yep.
Doesn't matter what kind of weapons he has out there. You got to take the 7 points.
Yeah, it'll be this is – and look, I mean, coaches like to do weird things. And is there a shot that Rising is going to be available and Utah's just playing coy this entire time? There's a chance. And like you mentioned,
true.
The fact that it's week one and not coming up this weekend, the extra week help you out in terms of the rehab and coming back and coming back from ACLs. We see guys nowadays with technology and the way that you can rehab these things and take care of your bodies, guys are coming back quicker and quicker. So we'll see if he's going to be there. But
if he's not ready for week one and they lose, like, I know they're still in the picture because the Pac-12 schedule and all that, but it's like, There's no point in coming back. You know what I mean? There's no point in playing anymore. Like, season's kind of a waste. Let the kid take over. Prepare for the future.
I don't know about that. I would argue that there's still a reason to come back. Now, the problem is, if he's not going to be ready, and then I think their follow-up game is Baylor, right?
Yes.
So that's part of the tough problem, too, is okay, if he's not going to come back and if he's not going to be ready at the early portion of the season, I mean, you got two big games before you get to Weber State. So if that was flipped, right, and you can
doesn't
maybe
matter.
Get some reps with Weber State and then get ready to go. But the front end of the schedule is really tough for Utah outside of Weber because home against UCLA, again, if you're working somebody back in, a quarterback, even if Rising's there, that's going to be a tough conference opponent. And then on the road against an Oregon State team, for those who don't remember, last year was the best ATS team in the country and is one of the better coach programs out there. It's the first five games for Utah are going to be fascinating outside of just what's going to happen with this line for week one.
It's so tough because everything else is there.
Right.
And then you factor in some of the intangible qualities, having a veteran like Rising and this playmaking ability, what he showed last year. I mean, he's beaten USC two times in a row with quote-unquote inferior talent, but I'd say older talent because there's a bunch of grown men on that Utah side of things. But is Utah the team that – sports bettors fall in love with the most in the preseason over the last 4 or 5 years? I feel like every year everyone loves them. And I know it's because you're betting on coaches a lot of times.
Sure.
And when you're betting on Kyle Whittingham, you just know that the right things are going to get done in game by him. He's a very smart tactician of football.
They seem to be somewhat undervalued almost every year as well.
Yes.
I mean, what are we talking about here? Last year going in and beating USC the way that they did, and, of course, Oregon and back to, you know, consecutive the Pac-12 title games and whatnot. Like, they seem to be a team that the betting market, like, I think to your point, respected bettors that, like, people who follow college football that I respect their opinions seem to be high on Utah. The mass majority of folks, I would say, don't really respect Utah because it's not the brand that a USC or an Oregon is, and they kind of just fly in every year under the radar.
But I think if you're a person who – I'm going to sound like such a snob here, but if you're the type of person who only watches because you care about USC and you care about Oregon, you care about Florida State and you care about Ohio State and Michigan and, like, just the elites, you're not really a college football fan. Because to me, college football is about those teams that can go on those runs and pop up out of nowhere – like Utah is capable almost every – they're capable of doing it almost every year.
Yep. Rising, by the way, not the only ACL that we have our eyes on. We should note that Curtis Rourke, the starting quarterback for the Ohio Bobcats, they're going to be on the road over at Snapdragon Stadium against the San Diego State Aztecs. Opener, he was 4.5 with a total of 49.5. I think currently I've got on my screen – what are we looking at here? I think we're down to 3 if I have this correct. My screen's not loading up, internet issues. Regardless – that's worth watching because – oh, we're down to 2. Okay, there we go. I like that.
I got 2.5.
So, I would agree with this. You have questions about how sharp Rourke is going to be when he comes out here against San Diego State. I'm not really high on this Aztecs team as a whole. The defense is going to be perfectly fine. But, again, questions about what this offense is going to look like. And I would – this is – how about this? You want, like, kind of a dumb, hardcore angle here? Remember last year, them opening up this stadium? Do you remember what the storyline was at all?
No.
It was awful for viewership. The way the sun came in, there were people like fainting from heat exhaustion. There was this really big deal about the view, like the actual, hey, showing up and watching these games because it was like, dude, this is a nightmare. Like, we don't really love how this thing is going. Now, of course, that could change and they can make some adjustments. And actually, I should double check to see what time this game is because that would also matter. But overall, what are we looking at here for San Diego State? Yeah, it's a 4:00 still, sun's out. I'm going to say not a strong home field advantage.
Ooh.
How about that?
Ooh. And potentially quarterback issues. Now, they do have a lot of weapons. They have a good run game.
Mm-hmm.
They have some solid receivers. And there's continuity in the program because Frank Solich is long gone. And what's his name, the coach? Alpin?
What are you talking about here?
Ohio?
Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, Ohio. Alpin coming in for Ohio. So I'm this is interesting. This isn't without the quarterback though. Can he facilitate everything?
Tim Albin, Alpin, whatever. Alpin. So that game and the other, another Mountain West club, San Jose State on the road against USC. So thought about different ways to look at this. And I actually really like San Jose State offensively. One of the ideas was playing this game over the total. We saw this thing already get beat up a little bit. I had an opener at 63.5. We are up now to 65. So I think the market is heading in the right direction. USC team total over is not something I would say no to either. San Jose State only has about four guys coming back on this defense, and their defense really wasn't that great last year. I don't think it's a very deep defense in what any way, shape, or form. I think that they have enough offensively to help get this total over. I think that's why the market's heading there. But a team total for USC as well, once I could find it, depending on what the number is going to be, I think looking in that direction for the Trojans is going to be something to watch.
Team total.
Yeah, baby.
San Jose State, week zero.
No, USC team total. Oh, USC team total. I want to make that clear. USC.
I was thinking USC first quarter minus 8.5. Just get out and go?
Either way, just start firing away on college football. It's all that matters. First hour down here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.